We're very glad to see you at the midweek service tonight. We want to welcome you warmly and earnestly in the Saviour's name. We're going to commence the service tonight as we sing together the words of the hymn 478. Saviour, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. And love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow, some offering bring thee now, something for thee. So 478, the words are on the screens, and we're going to invite you to stand as we sing together, please. Let's just bow together in prayer. Pray the Lord will come amongst us here tonight. Our Father and our God, we do lift our hearts to thee in prayer. We're glad that we can seek thee at the throne of grace. We do thank you, Father, for the prayer meeting of the church. Thank you for this midweek service. We want to cry for the blessing of God, the fullness of your blessing to be upon this meeting tonight. We want to pray, Father, that you'll bless all the prayer meetings of our church. We ask, Father, that the spirit of prayer would rest upon them fully. We ask thee to give us, in these days in which we live, a greater spirit of prayer and of supplication. Give us a greater burden, Father, to seek thee. We're conscious of the importance of praying down the blessing of God upon the church and upon the witness of the gospel and even upon our land, Father, at this time. We pray that you'll guide us through the service tonight. We just want at the outset to commit the meeting and the way ahead into your hands. We ask thee to lead us. Lord, we cry to thee to come and be with us tonight. We do not want to trust in ourselves. We do not want to rest in the arm of flesh. We want thee to be our guide in every part of this service. We ask thee, Father, to come and to settle our hearts and to shut us in with thyself. We think of the busyness of this day for each one. So many things that we've had to attend to and to deal with. And Lord, we're conscious of even how those matters can dwell upon our minds at a time such as this. So we want to pray that you'll shut us in with thyself. Remember that you've said that we're to go into the closet and shut the door, to shut out the world. And Lord, we pray that we might have been able to do that for this little while tonight. We pray that this will be a hallowed time. Pray it'll be a blessed, a profitable time. We pray that it will, in the words of the hymn writer, be a sweet hour of prayer that calls us from a world of care. Our desire is that you lead us on with yourself, lead us on a little further with Christ. We remember it says of the Saviour in the Garden of Gethsemane that he went a little farther. And Lord, we ask that you will take us on a little farther with yourself tonight. Bless all who are here. Thank you for each one assembled in the service tonight. Thank you, Father, for a faithful band of praying people. Pray that you'll bless each one that's assembled with your presence. Pray that you'll bless each one with your Spirit. Lord, come down upon us. We pray that you'll help us to be attentive to the Word of God. And we pray, Father, that you'll give us even the power, the strength that is needed to wrestle with thee at the throne of grace. We want to pray, Father, that you'll save us from weakness and save us from fainting as we seek thee in prayer. Lord, bless every family that's represented in the meeting tonight. You know the differing needs, the differing circumstances, the various burdens, the unseen cares that many carry in these days. And Lord, we're glad that we can come to thee. We rejoice in the friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Lord, be near to your people. Encourage their hearts. Sustain them. We ask through these very difficult days. And Lord, we want to pray for those that are absent tonight because of illness. We lift each one before thee, Father. You know each person. You know their varying needs. You know, Father, the varying conditions of their health. And Lord, we ask that each one would know the touch of God. Our prayer, Father, for each brother and sister is that we know a very clear healing touch upon them, upon their bodies. Lord, it's our prayer that it might be your will to restore each one to full health and strength so that very soon they would be enabled to be with us here in the house of God. Lord, we do remember those that are on vacation at this time. Be near to them. Thank you for the holiday time, Father, the time of rest and refreshment. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll be with those families. We pray that you'll give them a good holiday, a good rest. We pray, Father, for their safety as they travel. We pray for health and strength. And Lord, we cry the same for each family of our congregation in these days. Lord, keep us. We're glad that we can commit ourselves just into your hands. We're asking, Father, that you might be our shield. We cry, Father, for this land of ours, as the tide of blessing goes out, we plead with thee, Father, to be gracious to us. Turn the tide. And we pray even more, Father, you'll turn the hearts of the people to thee. Hear these our cries. Be with us. Lord, give us the unction, the anointing of your Spirit now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel. We're going to read together from the first verse. Mark chapter 14, and the first verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. The scriptures tell us, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went on to the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. We'll end our reading just there, the close of that 11th verse. And we're assured the Lord will add his blessing tonight to this, the reading of his word. The verse 6, please. We'll direct your attention to it. We want to take it as our text this evening, the basis of our Bible study. Mark 14, verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. So the words particularly at the end of the verse. She hath wrought a good work on me. That we want to study, consider especially. The theme of the message, it follows on from the message last Wednesday night. We thought last Wednesday night about giving God's word its rightful place in our lives. Tonight we want to think about giving God's work, the service of Christ, giving God's work its rightful place in our lives. Can I point out to you, just at the beginning of the message, the beginning of the study tonight, that the woman that is spoken of here in this passage is Mary of Bethany. Mary, who was the sister of Lazarus and the sister of Martha. She's not named. You may have noticed that as we read down the verses. She's not named in the passage by Mark, nor does Matthew tell us who this woman was in his account of the circumstances. But John identifies Mary of Bethany for us. He does that in John chapter 11, the great chapter about Lazarus being ill and dying and been raised again from the dead by the Saviour. John leaves us in no doubt who it was that did this work on the Saviour, because he states it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So it's clear. We're left in no doubt the woman spoken of here is Lazarus's sister, the one that's generally known or referred to as Mary of Bethany.
Let me also make it clear that there is another similar event to this that's recorded in Luke chapter 7. But although the details are similar, the woman that is spoken of there in Luke 7 is not Mary, but one who is a converted sinner. She's particularly described as a sinner, generally believed to be a converted harlot. So I urge you, in your reading of the gospel narratives, not to confuse the two stories and not to confuse the two ladies. But what we're told here is that Mary took a jar of spikenard, or a box of spikenard. The spikenard was a very special ointment, a very special perfume. We're told in the details that are given in the New Testament that the box or the jar weighed a pound. It was a pound in weight. And Mary broke the jar. What that indicates is that she was giving it all to the Lord. She wasn't keeping any of it. She wasn't keeping anything back for herself. She broke the box, and she took the entire contents of it, and she anointed the Savior. She anointed the Lord Jesus with that spikenard in preparation for his burial. And in our text, we're told how the Savior himself described what Mary did to him that day, because he declared she hath wrought a good work. Notice the word work there. She hath wrought a good work on me. So, brethren and sisters, here's a woman in the New Testament scriptures. Here's one of the believers of the early church, and she sets us a great example. A great example, especially of working for the Lord, or of serving Christ. And she teaches you especially about giving God's work its rightful place in your life. And that's what we want to encourage you to do always. We want to encourage every Christian always to do that, to give the work of God, not your own work, but to give God's work its rightful place in your life. So for a few minutes, let's consider together what we're told here about Mary's work for the Lord on this special day. Notice what we're told about the cost of her work. You find that especially in verse 5. It says there, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." Also, in verse 3, if you look back up the chapter, the spikenard is described as very precious, not just precious. There's emphasis, it's very precious. John's account of this story is in chapter 12 of his gospel, and John in his account says it was very costly. So the same emphasis is again placed there by John. So it's clear, brethren and sisters, there was a cost for Mary to serve Christ as she did that day. Can I point out, we would never have known the value of this box of spikenard. We would never have known the value of Mary's service to Christ that day but for Judas Iscariot, the man who was greedy for money. Because it was Judas, if you study the narratives, the accounts carefully, it was Judas who calculated and then declared the cost of this spikenard in the gathering of the other disciples. To her credit, Mary never said a thing. Mary never boasted about the cost of that ointment. It was Judas. But Judas gave its value not to praise Mary. He gave its value to blame her. To blame her especially for what he described as waste, as extravagance. If you just look at verse 10 of the chapter, that's one of the reasons why we read just a little further down the chapter, but beyond the details of the story. Verse 10 says, "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went on to the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So I emphasize that to you. The very next story in the passage is Judas's betrayal. Judas receiving money. And one of the reasons why it's placed there as it is in the chapter is to show you the contrast. What a contrast there is, brethren and sisters, between the two stories. What a contrast there is between these two people. One gave generously, but the other grabbed, and grabbed out of greed. Remember, I mentioned it a few Sabbath mornings ago, the 300 pence. Well, that was the equivalent of a labouring man's annual salary in those days. It was a lot of money. So what I want to stress is, what I want to make clear, Mary made a great sacrifice in her work, in her service for Christ. She gave much. She gave her best in the work of God. You think of it like this. She could have anointed Lazarus, her brother, with this spikenard that she had bought. But she didn't. She kept it. And she gave it fully, she gave it liberally to the Lord Jesus in his service. So, brethren and sisters, there's a cost. There's a cost to serving Christ. You think of Nehemiah. It cost him his job at the royal palace to serve the Lord. You remember that he was the king's cupbearer. That was like the chief butler in the royal palace. He had a very good job. A very good position, but it cost him that job to do the will of God and to serve the Lord. You think of James and John, the two brothers, the sons of thunder, as they're described in the New Testament. Well, it cost them the family business to follow and to serve Christ. Remember, the New Testament says they left their ships, they left the nets, they left their father. It cost them the family business in order to serve or to do a work for the Lord Jesus. Think of John in the Isle of Patmos. Think of Paul in a Roman prison. That reminds us it cost those men their freedom in order to do a work for God. So there's a cost, brethren and sisters, sometimes a great cost to serving Christ. As Noel Grant said in the final verse of his hymn, Above Thine Own Ambitions Here, the price is high. Severe the test for those who would enjoy God's best. So I want you to see from Mary of Bethany tonight, there's a price, there's a cost to serving God. And the question that all of us need to ask, consider tonight is, are we willing? Are you willing to pay that price? Sad thing, too many Christians, too many church members only serve the Lord when it costs them nothing. Cost them nothing. You think of the words of David to Arana in the threshing floor there in Jerusalem. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. May the Lord give us all that burden. Give us all that desire, brethren and sisters, that we're willing to serve the Lord whatever the cost may be. That's the sort of Christian Mary of Bethany was. So the cost of her work. I want you to see as well the criticism of her work. If you look there at the end of verse 5, now think of what this lady is doing for the Savior, and look at what it says at the end of verse 5, and they murmured. They murmured against her. Look also at verse 4. It says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves, and they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Notice the words there, had indignation within themselves. That indicates they certainly weren't happy with what Mary was doing. It indicates that there was strong feeling against Mary, what she was doing for the Lord that day. Now, you would think that someone doing such a generous such an earnest work for the Lord would be praised, that they would be encouraged by everyone. But sadly, that was not the case. And brethren and sisters, you may find the same as you seek to work and labor for the Lord. Here we find Mary being criticized. And sadly, perhaps the saddest thing in the story is that she's been criticized not for the first time as she sought to live for the Lord. Because remember, her own sister Martha criticized her for sitting at the Savior's feet. Mary's good work was criticized and condemned. And if you think of it in the context of this chapter, she was criticized by the very people that you would have expected to be the first to encourage her, because it was the disciples, it was the apostles that expressed this indignation, this bad attitude towards Mary. So she received no encouragement. These are the men that were the leaders of the church, the New Testament church, and she received no encouragement from them whatsoever for what she did that day. So how sad, men and women, how sad that is. And the one who led the criticism was Judas himself. John makes that clear in his account of these events. And note that she was accused of waste. You look there at the words at the end of verse 4. Why was this waste of the ointment made? Judas was to the fore in making that accusation against her. Mary was made out to be guilty of wasting money and of wasting this jar of ointment. But it's very interesting, and it's very solemn too, to note that that word waste, it's the same word in the original scriptures that's used for perdition when the New Testament describes Judas Iscariot as the son of perdition. Isn't that interesting? The word waste, same word as perdition. That the message, the lesson is this. Judas accused Mary of wasting money, but he wasted his whole life. Remember, Judas never came to trust the Savior. The reality is, he didn't care about the poor. He used those words, but he didn't care. That sounded very nice, very considerate, very pious. But the reality, and again, John makes this clear if you take the time to read his account, the reality is Judas just wanted the money. It was the money that he was interested in. He wanted the money for himself. So Mary's work was criticized, brethren and sisters. And the lesson, the warning for us all is, you should expect the same. You should expect criticism in the Christian life. You should expect criticism in the Lord's work. Paul said in his epistle to the Romans, let not then your good be evil spoken of. But you know, the sad thing is, there will be those, even those in the church, who will speak evil of the good that you try to do for the Lord. Even Christians will speak evil of your labors. The reason that they do that, well, because they're jealous. Jealous of your position, or because your work shows them up, shows up their coldness, their carelessness in the things of God. What you often find, brethren and sisters, is that many will criticize you who are doing absolutely nothing themselves in the work of God and in the service of Christ. So God's faithful servants will be criticized. Remember when David showed a desire to fight Goliath, his own brother, Eliab, his eldest brother, ridiculed him, made little of him. Eliab said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. So David was ridiculed. He was criticized. You think of what Paul said. He tells us in 2 Corinthians that as he labored, there had been evil reports. Imagine that. People had evil reported his life and his labours. There had been evil reports as well as good reports. So even the great apostle knew what it was to have criticism, to have evil reports given of the work that he did for the Lord. So brethren and sisters, there will always be criticism in the Lord's work. And the question is, what do you do whenever your life and your labours are criticised? Let me tell you the answer to that. You just quietly carry on with the work of God. And you leave those people to the Lord. He will look after them. He will deal with those people. As Paul said to the Corinthian believers, be steadfast, unmovable. Don't let even criticism move you. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So we urge you to do that tonight. Keep on with the work of the gospel. Third thing I'll emphasize in the story is the commendation of our work. Look again at the words of our text, verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Mary's work, Mary's efforts may not have pleased Judas and the other disciples, but they certainly did please her master. The Lord Jesus clearly, strongly commended Mary and commended her work for him, and he did it even before all of those other disciples. Wasn't that tremendous? He sets us a very good example there to speak up. There's times we need to speak up and speak a word in favour of those that are being faithful to the Lord. In fact, included in his commendation of Mary that day is a rebuke of the disciples. He said very clearly and firmly to them, let her alone. So remember, brethren and sisters, the Saviour knows the hearts of all men. And he knew Mary's heart. He knew her humility. He knew her sincerity. He knew her devotion. And he defended her and blessed her for her labours. And notice that the Saviour commended Mary by the spoken word. You have that in the chapter from verses 6 through to 9. We'll not take the time to read all of those, but from the words of our text, I'll just read the words of our text again. Let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Read through those words. That's the spoken word of Christ. And the Saviour himself, by the words that he spoke that day, he commended, he encouraged Mary in her labours. Can I point out to you that the words of our text, she hath wrought a good work, that word good can be rendered beautiful. She hath wrought a beautiful work on me. So the Saviour spoke very highly of Mary's labours. In fact, he described them as the very opposite of what the disciples had said. Remember, they had called it waste, but he called it beautiful. So he commended her in the spoken word. He also commended her in the written word. Never forget that this story is in the New Testament scriptures. It's recorded in three books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and John. So the Lord wrote this story. He wrote the details of Mary's service into the Bible for every succeeding generation of Christians to read. So what a commendation that is. Her commendation is recorded in the written word. It's recorded in the Bible. And she's also commended in the preached word. If you look at verse 9, the Saviour said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So this story of Mary is preached all around the world. And it's preached to commend and to keep in perpetual memory before God's people in every nation her earnest labours for the Lord. So just think of it. As long as the gospel is preached, Mary's work will be remembered. Mary's work will be praised. Do you see the fullness of her commendation? And brethren and sisters, there's a vital lesson for us to learn here, and it's this. Regardless of what others say about you and about your work, the most important thing is to please your Lord, to please your Master. Even if others misunderstand and criticize you, don't stop your work. Because remember, our chief concern is His approval and His well done upon our life and upon our service. We're told of Enoch, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. And let that, brethren and sisters, ever be your aim. Let it ever be your goal. Not to please your neighbor, not to please the world, not to please men, but to please Him, to please God. As the hymn writer said, I must not miss the well done of God. So the commendation of our work. And just quickly in closing, think of the cause of our work. What was the cause? What was the reason for Mary's work, for her sacrificial service for the Lord that day? The answer, it was her love. Her love for Christ. What she did to the Savior that day revealed the greatness of her love. Not of herself, not her love of the praise of men. It revealed the greatness of her love for the Savior. Judas's life, that was marked by the love of silver, the love of substance. But Mary's life, oh how different. It was marked and motivated by the love of the Savior, by the love of Christ. Do you remember whenever the Lord restored Peter three times, the Savior asked him the question, lovest thou me? Just ponder that question tonight. The Savior's asking each one here the same question, lovest thou me? When Peter said or affirmed that he did, the Savior challenged him. Remember, feed my lambs to begin with, and then twice over, feed my sheep. In other words, the Savior was saying and teaching Peter, and he's teaching us as well, if you really love me, then prove it. Display it by what you do. Display it by your work, by your service for me. The Apostle Paul taught, for the love of Christ constraineth us. What is it, brethren and sisters, that causes or constrains us, or should cause and constrain us into the work of God? It's the love of the Savior. His love for you, and your love in return for Him. So if you really love Christ, that will constrain you. In other words, that will draw you to serve the Lord and to win souls, as it did with Mary. And may that be so, brethren and sisters, of each one that is assembled here today. Let me just point this out to you in closing. It's an interesting fact in relation to the story. It's very striking that Mary did this great work, this good work, for her Lord and Savior, and she did it without speaking a word, without speaking even a single word. Read the passage carefully, and you will see that to be the case. In fact, read all of the passages, and you'll see that to be the case. The only words of Mary of Bethany that are recorded in the Scriptures are in John chapter 11, when she said to the Savior, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So this Mary, to sum her up, this Mary was a great thinker. She was a great sitter. Remember, she sat at the Savior's feet. In fact, every time you read of this Mary in the Bible, she's at the feet of Christ. So as she sat there, she's listening to His word. She's pondering. She's a great thinker. She's a great sitter. She's a great learner. And here in this passage, we learn that she was a great worker. But she was not a great talker. She's a great example. We should seek to emulate her in that regard as well. Mary did not talk about the work that she had done. She did not boast about her giving and about her service. In fact, it has to be stressed, she never said a single word about it. Mr. Spurgeon said, "Speak not of what I have done for the Lord, but rather speak of what the Lord has done for me." And that's good advice for us all, brethren and sisters. The lesson is, as you think of that fact, too often we spoil our work. Too often we spoil our labours by talking too much about it, by glorying too much to others with regard to it. If we would do more and talk less, we would accomplish more and perhaps be more of a blessing to others as well. So giving God's work its rightful place in your life. I want to urge you tonight, brethren and sisters, in that regard, to follow the example of Mary of Bethany. She hath wrought a good work on me. May the Lord tonight bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll sing just some verses of 371. Hymn 371, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." We'll just sing the first three verses, please. First three verses, 371, and we'll stand as we sing. We bid you all an earnest word of welcome to the service tonight. We appreciate your faithfulness. We appreciate your presence. May the Lord bless you each one as we continue here tonight in his presence. Remember the Lord's Day, 11:30 a.m., the morning service here in the church building, and the evening drive-in meeting at 6:30 down at the Woodview Garden Centre. The singer, Miss Sarah Moffat from the Ballymoney Church, and I hope to be the speaker myself at both of those meetings. just remind the brethren that there is a meeting of the Kirk session in the will of the Lord this coming Monday night at 7:30. Keep in mind that the church accounts are available if you haven't received your copy as yet. Remember the Mission Board Drive-In Missionary Rally on Friday night at 7:30, planned for the Halfish Farm, just to highlight the works in Kenya and Uganda, and they're planning to serve some light refreshment at the end of that meeting. The forecast isn't very good for the next few days for Friday, especially, so do make that a particular matter of prayer. If there is any change to those arrangements that is made over the next day or so, we'll let you know about that as soon as possible. Remember, we had mentioned on the Lord's Day of the need of some help to prepare literature for that drive-in meeting. We'd announced that on the Sabbath morning. Our brother Adrian was off this week. He had little time to spare. He started into that job and got it all completed for us, so we do appreciate his time and work in that regard. But we want to thank any in the congregation that were willing and had been able to help us, and be assured there will be other opportunities to help us with similar jobs in the future. Keep in mind, just let me mention quickly, those that are in need of our prayers, our brethren Ken McMurray, Norman Kerr, Rodney George, Mrs. Walker. We were glad to see she was able to be with us on Sunday night at the drive-in meeting. Remember, the Hartleys too continue to pray for Mrs. Strachan, our sister Iris, our brother Wesley Dalzell, and young Matthew too. We want to keep him before the Lord also. Our sister Mrs. Watson phoned just at tea time to ask special prayer for a niece, Barbara. Barbara had surgery for a brain tumour recently. It was found to be malignant, and it seems to be progressing quite rapidly. So the situation for Barbara is very serious. She does know the Lord. We rejoice in that. But please do remember Barbara especially in your prayers, that the Lord would keep his good hand upon her and guide the doctors that are responsible for her circumstances. Remember the bereaved, our brother Paul Hill, and the Reverend Higginson as well, in the sudden death of his dad. Pray too for those meetings been planned for Killalea later in the month, the Children's Club for 3 nights, the 24th to the 26th of August. Pray for those plans. Pray for the weather, for the meetings too. Keep in mind there is a list for any that can help. If you are able, if you're available to help with those meetings, put your name on that list as soon as possible. I think those are all the matters we need to mention.